You will take your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter number 4. Do you know that the Lord's good this morning, church? Amen. Yes, He is. All the time. Daniel chapter number 4, so we'll be taking our reading from. I do ask you to be much in prayer for me this morning as we get into the Word. I'm going to be going back and forth just a little bit. I've had a thought on my mind for several weeks, and I have even discussed it with some others about this thought that was on my mind, and I kept praying and asking God which scripture you want me to use. What where are we going with this, God? And this week it seemed like this is the only thing that I could get on my mind. And the thought that I want to bring to you this morning, we'll do our best to preach and mind the Lord, and then we'll go home here in just a little while. But I hope you enjoy being in God's house. You know, Autumn and I went camping the last couple of days, and we packed the truck for a week. I'm telling you, going camping with five and six of you is a job. We took more stuff to camp for 2 days than we do when we go to the beach for a week. It was awful. We ended up hauling trailers and everything else. I mean, somebody at work told me one day, said, I love going camping because you just have to take the bare necessities. Not us. No, sir. We try to pack the whole house and go. So if anybody wants it, I hope I've got it somewhere in the truck. But I want to say that what I was getting at is we prepare to do stuff like that. Some of you may be going on vacation this week. And you've already been making preparations. You've been making, thinking about it and making lists. I had two lists on the bar there to stuff we want to take camping. But how much preparation do we do before we come to God's house? How much time do we get down and say, God, just meet with us in your house today? God, prepare my heart. God, hey, a lot of times I know I come to church needing help. And I come to church and I have to ask God to forgive me of my sin. But what if I took care of those things at home in my private prayer time with God? God, give me strength. God, forgive me. And then I come into His house ready to worship Him, ready to glorify Him. My experience at church might be a little different, but instead I don't do a lot of preparation. Now I have to because I have 100 of y'all looking at me, or 150, whatever it is, and then Facebook. So I have to prepare. What if I just come in here and said, I don't know what we're going to do today. Some of y'all be like, yes, let's go. We can get out of here. But some of you be like, well, let's not do it today. We're not going to let him back next Sunday. So let's spend some time preparing as we come to God's house and let God have our hearts and our minds ready to come in and to worship God and to hear from God. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer as you're in Daniel chapter number 4. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for just allowing us to be together in your house this morning. God, I do pray that you'll help us to think about our story, the story that you've given us, God, and most of all, that story that your son, Jesus Christ, gave his life for us, and the story that one day I realized that I was a sinner, and I came to ask you for forgiveness of my sins and to be Lord of my life, and God, that you saved me and made me one of your children, and God, I want to thank you, and I want to praise you for that. God, I pray for each and every one in this church this morning. God, I pray that all of the needs will be met, that our hearts will be comforted, that peace will be given. And God, most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, that they'll see their need for salvation. God, for the ones watching us on Facebook today, God, be with them, strengthen them. God, I pray to your Father, dear Lord, if it be your will, that you'll let all of this mess that's going on, I pray that you'll let it pass from us. God, if that's your will, or God, if we need to continue to grow through it, God, give us strength and give us grace through the middle of it. God, I pray that you'll touch the message this morning. Help us to be exactly where you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Daniel chapter number 4, I want us to read verse number 4. I'm going to give you another man's story this morning. This is almost just like a storybook when you open this and read it. We were walking the other day while we were out at a state park somewhere or the other, and my little girls walked across a little wooden bridge, and I said, have y'all ever read the story, The Three Billy Goats Gruff? And they said, yeah, I think I've heard of that. I've got to go get The Three Billy Goats Gruff somewhere and read to my girls. It's a story that I remember. And, you know, as you get into the Bible, if you will read these and realize that these are things that really, hey, Three Billy Goats Gruff probably really didn't happen. I don't think it's true. I think it's fictional. But as we get into God's Word, we got to realize that God has left us some true stories for us to read, some true events. And I want you to read with me here in chapter number 4, verse number 4. The Bible says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I'm going to stop reading right there for just a few minutes. As we get into Daniel chapter number 4 and verse number 4, the first thing we see is the Bible says, I, Nebuchadnezzar. So we're getting a story about Nebuchadnezzar. Has anybody ever heard of Nebuchadnezzar before? Amen. I see hands all over the church. What do you think of when you think of King Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel? Yep. Nobody thinks of that golden image that he built? Okay, let's have Sunday school for just a minute. Let's go. No, I'm playing. We're not going to go back to Sunday school. When I hear King Nebuchadnezzar, I think of that great big golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar built. Someone on Facebook, I hope that you commented that you were looking at that big, great, great big golden image. But I think of a man that had many great accomplishments. You go back and you study history. You can even go outside of the Bible and you can read about King Nebuchadnezzar and all of the great accomplishments that King Nebuchadnezzar had. He was King Nebuchadnezzar the Great. He had so many. Go back and study it. I don't have time to let you in on all of it this morning. I've done my study, and you go back and do some of yours, and look at all the great accomplishments that King Nebuchadnezzar had. As we look down through history, as we see what a great man that he has, we also understand, as the Bible tells us, that he took the Hebrews captive. That now at this time that we're reading, that here in just a minute when we read, we're going to see that the children of Israel are in captivity. This is the Babylonian captivity that we're in the midst of, and King Nebuchadnezzar has taken them captive, and he's holding them captive. Now, as we continue to read and as we continue to look, as you go back to chapter number 3, that's where you can read about that great big golden image. And we know that King Nebuchadnezzar was a man of great stature, that he was a man that was of very high importance. We know that he was someone that everyone around looked up to. And as we see Nebuchadnezzar, and he builds this great big statue, this great big golden image over in chapter number 3, one way that I know that he is such an important man is as you look, and as he builds this great big golden image, and he calls for everyone to come and to see this golden image. And the Bible tells us of all these really important people that come to see this golden image. And as they're there, he then tells them, now I'll tell you what, at a certain time, all of this music is going to be played. And when all of this music is played, I want you to bow down and I want you to worship my golden image. We know as from reading from the Bible that as the music began to play, that all of these people of great importance, all of these people who had titles behind their name, as the music began to play, they all fell down and worshiped this statue, this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had built, except for three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three of my Bible heroes are found in Daniel chapter number 3. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't bow down and worship the golden image. And we know how the Bible tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar came to him and said, I'm going to give you one more chance, and if you will fall down and worship my image, I'll leave you alone, but if not, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. As the music began to play again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, oh king, we're not even careful. We don't have to even give it a thought of whether or not we're going to bow down, because we're not going to bow, because our God is able to deliver us from your fiery furnace. So as the music begins to play again, and the three boys didn't bow down and worship the golden image, we know that the Bible gives us an account of King Nebuchadnezzar having those three men bound up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have them bound up. They heat the fiery furnace up 7 times hotter than it has ever been heated before. The Bible tells us that the men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, that the heat was so strong that it even killed them as they were throwing them into the fire. We understand that as old King Nebuchadnezzar was setting up there, and as he's looking around and he's expecting to see three fried little young'uns down there in that fiery furnace that he throwed in that fiery furnace, as he's expecting to have victory over that and to show everyone his great power, his great stature that he had, as he's expecting everyone to know that he is the man in charge, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down there in the fire. Now I want you to understand, as we're looking at this morning, that King Nebuchadnezzar was surrounded by some men who were trying to point him the right way. See, he had Daniel there on his council. He had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were willing to take a stand for their God. And God put some people in King Nebuchadnezzar's life to show him a better way, to show him a better life. But as King Nebuchadnezzar there is showing his power and showing his might, and he has those three boys thrown into the fire, as he looks down and he's expecting to see them all fried up good and crispy, as he looks down that that morning, that afternoon, or whatever time of day that it was. We know in verse number 25, he says unto his men, he says, he answered and said, lo, first of all, in verse number 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He said, hey, didn't we throw three young'uns down there in that fire? Didn't we throw them three little boys down there in that fire? The ones who wouldn't bow to my image? And all the council says, yes, king, we did. And as the king is looking down there, he says, well, we may have thrown three down there, and I know that they were all bound up when we throwed them in there, but why now when I look down in there do I see four, and the fourth is likened unto the Son of God? Why in the world are they not fried up? Why are they not dead there? See, I'm powerful. I'm more powerful than those three young'uns. I'm more powerful than them. I had showed my dominion over them, and I throwed them in that fire, but why all of a sudden are they down there loose, walking around, and the fourth one that's in there is likened unto the Son of God? Have you ever been in a fiery furnace and felt Jesus right there with you? Amen, I sure have. I want you to notice, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but if you continue looking here in this scripture, that those three men and Jesus stayed in the fire until the king called them out. They was just fine right down there. Hey, they were in the middle of that fire, and the Bible tells us in just a minute, it says, and then the king called them out of the fire. And they didn't even smell like smoke when they come out of the fire. They was just fine. They went down there screaming and hollering. They was down there in the presence of God, and they were just fine right there in that fire. I want you to notice what this done to King Nebuchadnezzar. As God showed himself, as God showed his power, as God showed his presence. Look with me in verse number 28 of chapter number 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Amen, king. He finally said something that was right. As we get here and we see that the king acknowledges God. I'm going somewhere with this here in just a minute. First of all, we've seen that there were people put in his life to show him a better way. We see that God revealed himself unto King Nebuchadnezzar. We see that God showed up and let King Nebuchadnezzar know that he was there. And then we see King Nebuchadnezzar acknowledge the presence and the power of God. But then we get down into chapter number 4. We've already read verse number 4. I'm going to summarize verses 5 through 27 for you. As you look at Daniel chapter number 4, verses 5 through 27, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Now remember, he's already had people put in his life to show him a better way. God's already showed up, and he has already acknowledged God. Now in verses 5 through 27, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. In this dream, he saw a tree standing in the midst of the earth. And this tree was so tall and so strong that you could see it from all of the earth. Anywhere that you were at, you could see this big, strong tree. The leaves were fair. There was a great amount of fruit here on this tree. And it supplied food, shade, protection for everyone and everything here on the earth. As King Nebuchadnezzar is having this dream, and I'm sure he's laying there on his pillow, maybe a little slobber running out the side of his face, and man, he's just seeing this great, big, beautiful tree. Man, can't y'all just see it with me as he's laid up there? And this big tree is growing, and it's got all these beautiful leaves and all this fruit, and man, it's just wonderful. Great, big, tall tree. You can see it from all the earth. And then all of a sudden in his dream, there was a voice that come from heaven. And the voice that come from heaven said, the voice that cried from heaven said, cut down the tree, cut its branches, shake off leaves, scatter the fruit, but leave the stump. Let it be changed to the heart of a beast until seven times pass over. As King Nebuchadnezzar is having this dream, and man, everything's going so wonderful, and he's got a little slobber running down his cheek, and man, his belly is full from supper the night before, and then all of a sudden, this sweet little dream that he's having turns into a nightmare. This sweet little dream that he's having, it turns into something that he doesn't understand. The voice from heaven says, cut the tree down, cut the branches, shake off the leaves, do away with all that provision, all of that protection, all of that strength. Do away with it all, but I want you to leave the stump. I want you to leave it out there. So King Nebuchadnezzar was confused about his dream. To go from such a sweet little dream to all of a sudden something that seems more like a nightmare that he doesn't understand. So he calls for all of his magicians. He calls for everyone to come and try and interpret the dream. No one can, but guess who God sends? Daniel. So in Daniel comes and begins to interpret the dream. Excuse me. He comes and tells King Nebuchadnezzar, he says, here is what I want you to know. I want you to know that you are the tree. That King Nebuchadnezzar, this tree that you saw, that's you. Great, big, strong, powerful. And I'm sure as Daniel begins to tell King Nebuchadnezzar this, that old King Nebuchadnezzar begins to swell up a little bit. He begins to stick his chest out, you know, kind of like I do when I'm down at the lake and I catch myself with my belly all stuck out and we start to meet people and I go. I put on a life vest the other day and it just barely would snap. And when I got on there, I said, honey, which way is the weight room? That's the way King Nebuchadnezzar probably was. All swelled up. Yep, that's me, that great big tree. So tall and strong, everybody can see me. Everybody knows all about me. I'm supplying for all. I'm giving shade to all. I'm strong. And as Daniel begins to tell him this and says, King, you are that tree. And I can see him just kind of swelling up. But then Daniel says, but you got to know something. You're fixing to be cut down. You're fixing to be taken down because you're so swollen up with pride. Because you don't acknowledge God. And we know that you did at one time. You saw God and you acknowledged God with your words. But now you're so swollen up with pride and you're going to be cut down. Actually, he even goes as far as to tell him, look, you are going to live like a cow. For 7 years. It says seven times. I take into assumption that it's talking about a year. For 7 years, you're going to eat grass, King. You're going to be out there and you're going to have hair like a beast. You're going to go out and you're going to eat grass and the dew is going to fall on you. You're going to live outside just like the old cows. That's what's coming your way, King. But then Daniel, he wasn't telling him that with a heart of judgment. He wasn't telling him that with a heart that said, look, this is, hey, what he done is he says, King, I want to beg you to change your ways. You know what? We as Christian people, we know there's a whole lot of things going on in our world right now. A whole lot of sin that's not called sin anymore. When right is called wrong and wrong is called right. But we need to be very careful that we don't get such a judgmental attitude that we can't show sympathy for anyone. That we can't show that we care for people. That we don't show that we can't have some feelings for someone. We need to be there and love them. I want you to look in verse number 27. In chapter number 4. Verse number 27. The Bible says, wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Before Daniel would even tell the king what the dream meant, he spent an hour thinking about it. And the king even come to him and said, Daniel, don't worry about it. Just tell me what it means. Just tell me what the dream means. And he told him. And then he said in verse number 27, he says, wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He says, King, I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to know please just respond to what God has sent. God sent you this dream. God sent me to interpret this dream. Now please just respond to it. Just respond and change your ways. Change what you're doing, King, because I don't want to see you go through what God has showed you in the dream that you're going to go through. Let's continue reading and see what happens. As King Nebuchadnezzar is sitting here, Daniel tells him all about this dream. Daniel interprets the dream. Now you imagine this. You are the biggest, brightest thing going. You are powerful. Everybody is looking to you for their protection and their provision. You are the man. And then comes along some little runt and says, but you're fixing to be cut down. I can almost picture King Nebuchadnezzar standing up and going, who's going to cut me down? Who thinks they're big enough to cut me down? And this is the words that I've had on my mind for about 2 weeks. As King Nebuchadnezzar is standing there, as he is thinking about what Daniel has told him, and Daniel pleading with him, change your mind, change your ways, change what you're doing. Here's the words that I've been thinking. Daniel, it'll never be me. That'll never be me. Nobody will ever cut me down. Nobody will ever take me away from power. I want you to look at and see King Nebuchadnezzar's response with me. It's verse number 28. all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he thought about this thing. He was struggling with it. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon," listen to these next few words, "that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" There's a whole lot of I's and my's in the middle of that, isn't there? As King Nebuchadnezzar is told what Daniel had to tell him, he gave the interpretation of the dream, and I can just see him saying, "Daniel, it'll never be me. That'll not be me that's cut down. That'll not be me that's taken away from power. That'll not be me that's living like a cow out in the middle of the field. I want you to know right now, Daniel, that that'll never be me." And you know what? When Daniel got done, he had to say, "You know what? I gave you what God sent. I gave you what God told me to tell you. I gave you the interpretation of the dream. The only thing I can do now is ask you and beg you and plead you to respond to what God sent." And as King Nebuchadnezzar took 12 months to think about it and took 12 months to come back and say, "Daniel, it won't be me, because this is great Babylon that I have built for my honor and my majesty." A lot of times, if we're not careful, church, God sends stuff our way. God sends messages right straight out of His Word. God sends somebody by to talk to us. God calls us out on something that may be going on in our lives that shouldn't be going on. But I want you to know something. We need to be really careful that things are not going so good in our life that we say, "It'll never be me. This can't happen to me." Because everything's good in my life. Everything's wonderful in my life. Look at me. Look with me in verse number 33. After King Nebuchadnezzar said, "You know what, it'll never be me," verse number 33, "the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws." This man that was so great and so powerful, and everybody was looking to him, now all of a sudden he's out in the field eating grass. He's out there and the dew was falling every night. The Bible tells us that his nails was grown out, that he had hair like eagle's feathers. As you look at this, this is true stuff. This is not three billy goats gruff this morning. This is true events in God's Word. And King Nebuchadnezzar was cut down right after he said, "It'll never be me." See, you know what? There's been times and times that I've preached messages about how that we as children of God need to draw closer to God, how that we need to read more and pray more and study more, how that we need to get into God's Word and try to grow close to God, or maybe how that we have sinners in our presence or sinners that may hear this message. And I keep saying, this may be your last opportunity. This may be the last time that God calls your name, that God pulls your heart. And whether we really mean it like this or not, when we don't respond to the Word of God that God sends us, what we're saying is, "God, I got this. It's not going to be me. I'm okay. I'm okay. My Christian walk is okay. I'm walking right where I need to walk." We need to be careful, because even at the times in my life that I was walking very, very close to God, I know that I could have been closer if I put forth a little more effort. And you say, "Well, what are you talking about, preacher? Are you talking about works?" Absolutely not. I know that I'm not saved by my works. But I want you to know, if I want to be close to God and I want to walk where God, it's going to take some effort on my part. And we can be like Nebuchadnezzar this morning. And when God sends a word to us, and we can say, "Well, that's not for me. That he's not talking to me, because I'm a pretty good old boy. Or I'm a good lady. I try to do my best, and I try to help people, and I try to..." Really? But how much are we seeking God in our life? See, I don't know what things are going to happen in our lives. And I'm not even talking about on the big broad front that we all see on the news every day, that we all see in Facebook every day. But you know what? I don't know how many times I've got that text, or I've got that phone call, or I've got someone that just caught me out and said, "Preacher, you ain't going to believe it, but this just happened in my life." Or, "I got a bad phone call last night, preacher, and there was something bad that happened to one of my loved ones." Or, "I got diagnosed with this or that or whatever." And I'm not saying all of those things are things that God sent in our lives to punish us. But what I'm saying is, we shouldn't sit back and say, "Nothing like that can ever happen to me." We should be drawing close to God right now. We should be doing our best to walk with Him and strengthen Him, so that when those things happen in our life, that we have strength to stand and say that God is good right in the middle of our story. We need to be preparing right now. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "It'll never be me. This can't happen to me." And then it did. I've been real careful Autumn and I, we talk a whole lot, as we should. She's my wife. But we talk a whole lot, and sometimes we'll say something, and I'll say, but look, do you realize that I'm just one bad decision from being in the same place that that person's at? Do you realize that I'm just one trick from the devil away from being in the same place that that person's at? Do you realize that our kids are just one time away from being in the wrong place at the wrong time, from our kids being in that same boat that those kids are in? We should always be careful that we don't sit back and say, it'll never be me. Because anything can happen in our lives if we make the wrong choices, if we make the wrong decisions in our life. But what we got to understand is God's already prepared us for it. Just like he tried to prepare King Nebuchadnezzar. He tried to give him the warnings. He tried to tell him what was coming. And he even had Daniel pleading with him, saying, please change. Please go a different way. King Nebuchadnezzar said, it'll never be me. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, living the way that I'm living. And God said, okay. God said, okay. This is not the end of the story for King Nebuchadnezzar, but I'm not going to give you the rest of it. I'm going to challenge you to go home and read it yourself. Continue reading in Daniel chapter number 4 and see what happens to King Nebuchadnezzar. See what happens in his life. Church, here's the warning that I want to give us all, including myself first. If you are a true born-again child of God, and you know without a doubt that Jesus Christ forgave you of your sins, and that His Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, if you feel like you can go out and live like the rest of the world lives, I want you to know that God will chastise us as we do that. I can promise you, because I've been there. I can promise you because I've been the one that sat in a church. I've been the one that was maybe even teaching a Sunday school class, but my life wasn't lining up on the outside of the church wall. I've been the one that sung in the choir. I've been the one that done, and my life wasn't quite lining up with what God wanted me to line up with. And I can tell you that God took me to the woodshed and that God chastised me, because the Bible tells us that He will chastise those that He loves. And if He's not chastising you, I'm going to give you the word right here. If you can go out and live like the rest of the world and it doesn't bother you whatsoever, or if I can go out and live like the rest of the world and you don't get that sick gut punch feeling in your stomach when you do it, the Bible tells us that you're a bastard, not a son. That's the word. Not my words. That's the word. Preacher, what are you doing? You trying to get me to doubt my salvation? No, I just want to tell you this, that there are times in my Christian life that I get weak. I get weak. I've been weak even pastoring a church. Y'all ever been weak as a Christian? Yeah, absolutely. There have been times that I get weak. There have been times that you cast your eyes over here, you cast your eyes over there, and the world is so enticing. The devil makes it look so good. The world is so enticing, and if you're not careful, what they have seems better than what we have. But trust me, what we have is 10,000. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world can afford. What we have is so much better. But if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes cast out there. I told Autumn, as we was camping this weekend, I told her, I said, look, this kind of stuff right here is what would get me in trouble if I wasn't dedicated to God. And she said, what do you mean? Because we hadn't done anything wrong. She said, what do you mean? I said, I love being with you guys so much. I love the time that we get this relaxed. There's no drama, there's no opposition, there's nothing. I said, I could get to be the place, to be the person that every weekend that we were out camping somewhere, we were out fishing. I'm not preaching against those things. I'm telling you me. This is me. And I could get to the place where God might take a back seat to some of those things in my life because I'm just enjoying it so much here. We got to be careful, church, that God stays number one in our lives. We got to stay, because I know that if I did that, I would become a weak Christian. And when I went back to work on Monday, I might not have the strength to walk away from the jokes that I shouldn't be in part of. I might not have the strength that when I raise up and hit my head on something that I hold my tongue. I might not have the strength to continue to witness to the guys that I work with. See, we got to be careful because this world is so enticing and it draws us up. So here's the warning. Just as Nebuchadnezzar got the warning. And you say, well, preacher, who are you preaching to? I am preaching to me, 100%. I know I get up here with a tie on every Sunday, and I open my Bible, and I walk around, and I spit everywhere, and scream, and slobber, and do all those fun things. And yes, I enjoy doing it. But I want to tell you something. When I walk out that door, the devil attacks me just like he does every single one of y'all. And I got to be careful. Here's my warning. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your focus on God. Trust God. Don't ever think that it can't happen to me. Because if we make wrong choices and wrong decisions in our life, we can be in the same place that others are. And the worst thing that I think that I could do, one of the worst things that I could do, I don't want to be out of fellowship with God whatsoever. Come on, Hannah. I don't want to be out of fellowship with God. I don't want to be in trouble with God. But I don't want to hinder anybody from going to heaven. How would you like to think that someone is in hell this morning because they saw you not living the Christian life? Because they saw me in a time of weakness and they said, yes, and it happens. I know that it happens. But you know what? I want to minimize that. You know how we're doing this social distancing thing right now? You know how we're doing that? I want to minimize the opportunity for anybody to see me sin by doing my best to draw close to God, to walk with God, to live with God, and to be a light out here in a lost and a dying world. Church, we got to be warned this morning that in this time that we're living in, things may look bad. Hey, there's some that's not been in church for 8 weeks. Well, preacher, you don't have to be in church to be saved. I understand that. Amen. Preacher, I don't have to go to church to be close to God. That's between you and God. I'm going to tell you, I need this. And I'm worried. I'm praying for some that haven't been able to be with a church family 7 or 8 weeks. I would be weak, Marty. I would be in trouble. I would be to the place that I need to feel the power and the presence of God. Well, preacher, we're here this morning. You ain't talking to me. Don't say it'll never be me. Preacher, I'm reading my Bible. It'll never be me. Be careful. We all need to understand that the devil is good at what he does. Now listen, if you're here and you're lost, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're watching this on Facebook this morning. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, there is a graveyard full of people that said it'll never be me. That said in a church service somewhere, white knuckling the bench, y'all all know what that is. When the invitation was given and the power of God was on them and God was wooing them and beckoning them to come and they held on to that bench and just couldn't move. I've seen some of y'all struggle with that before. I can't pick at the one I was going to because he's not here. But there's a certain man in our church that I've seen him struggle with it week after week. But when he finally turned loose and come to God, he said it was the best decision that he ever made. Amen. But there's been people who sat in church and they white-knuckled the bitch. And they said, I know the preacher said I'm not promised tomorrow. I know that God's word says if I stand before God and I haven't accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior that I'll go to hell. But you know what? That's probably not going to happen to me. Do you want to live on a probably not? Do you want your eternity to be settled by a probably not? Absolutely not. I want to know without a doubt when I walk out that door, and I want you to know without a doubt when you walk out that door that if something happens to you before you get home and you stand before God, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Church, I want you to know that your relationship is right with God. If you knew that God was going to take you out before you got home today, if you know that God was going to take you out before you could get it from your car to wherever you live, would you act the very same way in church that you have today? Would you respond to an altar call the very same way you're going to here in just a minute? Because don't sit here and say it'll never be me. Because we never know what the next moment holds. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, God, I want to come to you this morning, not asking anybody to raise their hand. God, you know our hearts. And God, you are already touching our hearts this morning. God, we already know whether we're saved or not. God, we already know whether we're walking with you or not. But God, I feel like you sent this warning to me. God, because sometimes I get my eyes on circumstances, situations, different things going on. God, sometimes I let my relationship with you grow weak. God, I want to take this warning and I want to draw close to you. God, I want to walk with you. God, I want to be exactly what you'd have me to be. God, I pray for our church. God, help us to realize that even though we've heard it preached all of our lives, that we are living in those last days. How important our relationship is with you. God, I want us to realize how important it is that we help others find their way to Jesus Christ. God, I pray if there's one listening today in any capacity that don't know you as their personal Savior, God, I pray that if you have touched their heart and you're drawing them, that wherever they're at, that they'll fall down on their knees, that they'll bow their head, that they'll do whatever they need to do and acknowledge that your Son gave his life for them. Ask you to forgive them of their sins and have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, help us to respond the way that we should. God, bless our church. Help us to be exactly what you'd have us to be, giving you glory and pointing others to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. As you stand to your feet this morning, I know things are different. I know things are odd. Things are weird. We're worried about social distancing, and we're worried about, be careful you don't social distance yourself from God during the middle of all this. But this altar's open. If you need to come and pray, you need to come and thank God for something, you need to come pray for somebody, you need to come and acknowledge to God, hey, I know my relationship is not where it's supposed to be. God, I want to be what you want me to be. Or most of all, if you're here and you're lost, do not miss this opportunity. Your eternity could depend on the decision you make in the next 2 minutes. The next 2 minutes could decide whether or not you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. Don't say it'll never be me. Go ahead, Hannah. This altar's open.
I faced a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you. I know it's been a while. Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you. Thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. But this, I will admit, has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger.
Made a decision in your mind and your heart whether or not how you're going to respond. You say, well, preacher, I didn't come to the altar, but I responded. That's between you and God. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But let's take an opportunity to respond to God's word when God sends it. You know what? When God gives it to me, I most of the time have to respond to it before I can come give it to you guys. Every single time I have to respond to it before I can come give it to y'all. Listen, thank you for being in church with us today. You know, I don't go to the back door anymore because we're not shaking hands and all that kind of stuff. Because, I don't know, I feel weird. I almost have to stick my hands in my pocket when I walk by y'all because it's just so much habit to stick your hand out. But listen, maybe there's something going on in your life that you want some prayer about. Or maybe you're here today and you're lost. And you just say, preacher, there's no way I could come to that altar. I'll be up here for a few minutes. Come find me. Don't leave this building until you know everything's okay between you and God. If you've been watching us on Facebook this morning, thank you for being with us. We'll be back Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to what God has in store for us in His Word. Let's pray for our teenagers this week. Let's pray for a lot of different things going on in our church. Church, let's prepare for church next Sunday. Go ahead and start this afternoon. I'll go home tonight and I'll start preparing for work tomorrow. And then I'll prepare every day this week. Autumn, she lays out my clothes. No, she don't really, but she makes sure my clothes are clean for me. But I start preparing for work every single day. Let's prepare to come to the house of God and to give Him glory and to honor Him and to worship Him. Thank you for being with us this morning. Lynn Weddle, will you dismiss this word of prayer, please?